Blog Talk Radio.
What you hear?
Just wanna praise you forever and ever and ever for all you've done for me. Blessings and glory and honor, they all. Just wanna praise you forever and ever and ever for all done for me. Blessings and glory and honor, they all.
Come on, do us a favor. Go ahead and hit that share button. Watch this. Do us an extra.
a special favor. When you hit the share button and it says invite, just go down the list and invite at least 25 or 35 of your closest Facebook friends. Go ahead and let them know that you have tuned in to the birthplace of gospel music, where here we give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Right there. Let's sing that glory.
Let's sing that glory. And honor, they all belong to you.
Blessing
and glory. And honor, they all belong to you.
Come on, wherever you are, blessing
and blessing and glory. And honor, they all belong to you.
Blessing
and blessing and glory.
Come on, give God the glory. Don't stop, don't stop. Come on. Give God the glory. Come on, don't stop, don't stop. Come on, come on, come on. He's been too good for you to be quiet. Come on, come on. Look, I know you're sitting at home and it might feel strange, but you had enough practice. You should be able to worship wherever you are. Blessing and glory. Come on. You ought to feel that down on the inside. Come on, come on. We not stopping. Hey, hey, hey. Yes, yes. Blessing and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go to the throne in prayer. Father God, we welcome you into this place. Lord God, we just thank you, God, for keeping us, God. God, we thank you right now, God, just for being God this morning. God, God, we thank you for life, health, and strength, God. We thank you for your protection, God. We thank you for your covering, God. We thank you even in the midst of turmoil, God, you still show yourself mighty. And for that this morning, God, and for every church that's open in your name, we say thank you, Jesus. All over the world, churches open right now in your name, and we say thank you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our scripture text this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, starting at the fifth verse. Mark chapter 13, starting at the fifth verse. And it reads, "And Jesus, answering them, began to say, 'Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet.'" Verse 8 says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. There are the beginnings of sorrows." The word of God is already blessed. Amen.
We greet you once again from this, the birthplace of gospel music, the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We are going back old school, one of the favorite hymns of the church. I know that there are many of you who are watching. I'm going to take pastoral privilege at this moment. I know my dad is watching from his hospital room, and I want to send this song of encouragement to you and to all of those of you who are dealing with sickness and illness right now, hold to God's unchanging hand.
Happy, you make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. Sing it again, say, you make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. Everything about you is right. It covers all my wrongs. Say your life changed my life. 'Cause everything about you is right. It covers all my wrongs. Say your life changed my life. so in love with you. You make me happy, and you make me whole. You take the pain away, I'm so in love with you. 'Cause everything about you is right. It covers all my wrong day. Your life makes my life. Hey. But everything about you is right. It covers all my wrong day. Your life makes my life.
One more time.
That everything about you is right. It covers all my wrong day. Your life makes my life. With you is where I belong. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I'm so in love with you. Can't make you without you. I live to worship you, forever me and you, say, I'm so in love with you, can't make it without you, I live to worship you, forever me and you, forever me and you, forever me and you, yeah. That everything about you is right. Yeah, your life saved my life. 'Cause everything about you is right. It covers all my wrong day. Your life saved my life.
Before you press that donate button, before you go to the website, before you do the text to give, that you would pray first and ask God, what is your best offering this morning? And then what we're going to ask you to do is just to seed that offering into the ministry of here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. You should be seeing on the screen momentarily the various ways in which you can give to the work here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. You can text to give. You can go to our website, ebenezerbronzeville.org, and give that way. Or you can mail it the good old-fashioned way, or drop it off to the church. However, in whatever way, in whichever way you choose to give, we will be grateful for your continued support for the work and ministry here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. God is indeed great and greatly to be praised. At this time of our worship experience, we'd like you to join with us in our virtual altar call. There are many members. We have many names that we would like to lift today. Members that are requesting prayer. We want to remember in prayer Brother Joe Mukes, who is in rehab and is recovering, I understand. We want to remember Richmond Briscoe and Nathan Briscoe. We're continuing to pray for Patricia Butts, for Stanley Stovall. We're remembering in prayer Brother Harold Newchurch, who is still in Christ Hospital. We're remembering in prayer Wilma Newchurch, who is doing fine and is at home. We are remembering and praying mightily for Brother Bobby Thomas, who is in the University of Chicago Hospital. We're lifting up today Sister Ethel Freeman and the loss of her sister, Sister Lily Mae Lawrence of Greenwood, Mississippi. And we're praying that God would comfort her and her entire family during this hour as they are making arrangements for the services of celebration in Greenwood, Mississippi. We are lifting up our communities today. We are lifting up what's happening in our society on a national level and also on a local level. We are indeed living in difficult and trying times, times that perplex our hearts and minds and cause us to wonder what will the end yet be. But we approach this throne of grace today knowing that God is a God that hears our prayers, that we have the assurance that we can lay every burden, every circumstance on the altar. And we know that if God doesn't change our situation, God will change us to adapt to our situations. And so we go and we come and we gather at this altar to call on our Savior. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, you have heard the names and you know the unspoken names. You know, God, all who stand in the need of prayer. God, we ask right now that you would have mercy on those from whom we lifted up today, that you would touch them, oh God, that you would touch their bodies, that you would comfort them, oh God, as they grapple with a loss, God, as memories and experiences of old are brought to them, oh God, that they would be able to smile even in the midst of this difficult time. We lift up, oh God, Sister Freeman right now, oh God. And we pray, oh God, that you would touch her right now. Allow her, oh God, to feel the warmth of your presence. Allow her, oh God, to be comforted by your peace. God, we're asking that you will go in every sick room right now. We're asking, oh God, because we know that you are able. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. So God, have your way, oh God. Comfort family members right now, oh God. God, we lift up our church today, oh God. You know what we stand in need of, oh God. And God, as we are continuing to conduct our worship services virtually for what is now the 10th or 11th month, oh God, we ask, oh God, that you will continue to bless this work and ministry, oh God. God, we don't know what the end will be. We don't know when this pandemic experience will be beyond us, oh God. We just ask, oh God, that you would protect us, that you will shield us, oh God, from any hurt, harm, or danger. And God, that if we are indeed touched by this virus, oh God, that you would allow us to come out of it, oh God. Come out of it healthy and whole, oh God, realizing, oh God, that our healing is ultimately from you. God, we thank you for the gift of life. Because sometimes, God, we realize that we take our moments for granted. And we think that we will be here forever. But God, you have not told us that, because we recognize, oh God, that every single one of us have a time, an appointed time, when you will call us home. And so God calls us to maximize our moments that you have given to us. Thank you, God, for this worship service. Thank you, God, for those who are joining with us. We pray, oh God, that the balance of this service will be a blessing, oh God. It'll be a blessing, oh God, that it will encourage, that it will restore, that it will revive, oh God, those who have gathered here in faith. Thank you, oh God, for this opportunity to call your name. We lift now, God, this prayer upon the wings of the morn, and place it before thy feet, to the all-wise God, and for his sake we do pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
Our Father.
Friends and loved ones of mine last week told me that you really leaned on your Baptist upbringing. And I said, what you mean? They said, well, they felt like you preached a good sermon. I said, oh, okay, that's great. But it was like pretty long. I said, really? I guess I'm getting back into the groove. I'm going to give you the gift of time today because I'm not going to be up here very long. Let me start with this. One of the things that pastors and ministers do, give my towel. One of the things that pastors and ministers do is they prepare for, the new year. They sit down and they meet with staff and they come up with plans and ideas of what you want to do for the year. And I had sat down for the past several weeks, meeting with our consultant and some other members. And I had this wonderful idea that January was going to be the month that we would focus on stewardship, that we would focus on stewardship and tithing and giving, because this past year we had a major project that we needed to complete, and we did it, but we had to ask and seek the support of Ebenezer in a major way, and friends of Ebenezer and e-members of Ebenezer, and you all came through. And we were able to complete what some people thought was an impossible feat, but we were able to do it. So I wanted to do it a little different this year and not have to be so concerned with special projects. Raise the funds that we need to support ministry, that I would get back to what we have been taught and what we have learned, which was about tithing and giving. Because the truth of the matter is, if you are a tithing church, you don't have to really worry about special targeted giving in order to meet some of the needs. Because if you tithe and if you give the way in which you should, you will have enough in the storehouse to meet the needs. And so I had this wonderful idea that January was going to be the month of stewardship, talking about tithing and first fruit and all those wonderful things. And I'm going to get to it because I had that sermon all written out, prepared, and ready to preach it. But then Wednesday happened. Wednesday happened. And it was something that hit close to home. I, like many of you, looked at what happened at the Capitol building. We saw the riotous mob ascend upon the Capitol building to obstruct them completing their assignment of accepting the electoral votes that would put President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris would confirm them being the next president and vice president of the United States. I looked at that television and I saw that and I said, you know, all that you've been planning is good, but next Sunday is not the time. And so I had to course correct. I had to course correct. And I had to look at what was happening in the context of faith. And so I was brought to that text in Mark 13. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. And so I wanted to look at that just for a few minutes. The church in challenging times. The church in challenging times. We are living in some of the worst times in recent memory. I know some of you, those of you who lived through Jim Crow and lived through the 60s, and those were difficult, those were challenging times, and people lost their lives, lynching was happening, and those were brutal, awful times. And there were some successes after many of those things that transpired. We were able to get the Voting Rights Act and get so many things and do away with segregation, but the heart of people has not changed. When I looked at those people that were storming the Capitol, when I looked at those people that were putting Capitol officers and Metro DC officers at risk, these people that were pushing and that were shoving into that Capitol building, these are some people that I know left there on Wednesday and are maybe even right now sitting in somebody's church. Hearts have not changed. We're living in a time where this pandemic is raging. People are dying at astronomical numbers daily. We know people in our church that have lost jobs and lost businesses because of social distancing and the stay-at-home orders. And we know and we recognize that we have children who are in school remotely who are experiencing a tremendous learning loss, even though teachers and administrators are doing the very best
that they can. You cannot just learn on a TV or on a computer screen. You need to have 101. And so we recognize that there's significant learning loss. These are uncertain times. These are times where people are searching and looking for an answer. We are living in times where people are looking and answering, asking, is there a word from the Lord?
These are uncertain times. Our scripture text, Jesus speaks of a far more harrowing times than these. He warns of times when nations will war against others, a time when earthquakes and famine will be everywhere, a time when trouble will be around every bend of the road. And that's not all. Jesus warns that as bad as it sounds, that is only the beginning of sorrows. And as I thought about our struggles, unemployment, racial hatred, bigotry, inequities in justice systems, and inequity in education, I realize that these trying times are a great opportunity for the church to practice what it preaches. Great time, y'all, to strengthen our resolve, to be a moral voice in a decadent world, to strengthen our resolve, not just to make our way back to the house of prayer so that we can have our annual day, not so that we can have this event or that event, but that we would strengthen our resolve to answer that question, is there a word from the Lord? It's a great time for the church to step up and to be counted. This may be a challenging season, but it can be a great time of harvest for the church. So you may be sitting there asking, what can the church do in these testing times? Good question. And of course, the first answer is to pray. Absolutely, to pray. But we need to recognize that prayer without legs don't go anywhere. We not only have to pray. Word says that we need to watch and pray. We're not watching to do nothing. We're watching to do something. We can show that the church is committed, compassionate, and truly is a beacon for Christ. I want to spend just a few seconds on the first one, committed. Do you know that committed saints are the backbone of the church? Without commitment, nothing gets started or ever gets finished. But we have to understand commitment ain't about how you are made to feel. Commitment is not commitment on your terms. Commitment is not commitment only so that you can hear your name called. In times like these, the church needs saints who will go the extra mile, who will give the extra ounce and stay the extra hour. Committed Christians who will roll up their sleeves and do anything they can to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There's a story told of a female janitor who worked in New York City's Port Authority scrubbing the steps inside of the terminal at night. There was a guy who worked in the building, said, saw the woman and said, "I understand that you are a Christian." The woman said, "Yes, I am. I'm a child of the king," was her immediate reply. And so he said, "Well, if you are God, if your God is a king, then you must be a princess. Don't you think it's beneath your dignity to come here every night and scrub these dirty steps?" She said, "Sir, there is no humiliation whatsoever in scrubbing these steps. You see, I'm not scrubbing these steps for my boss. I'm scrubbing them for my Savior." That's the kind of attitude a Christian needs to have, the kind of commitment to Christ, an unshakable commitment. A commitment is that's not shaken when your vote doesn't go your way. Shakeable when truth is spoken to power and you're told that your group, that your ministry is not doing enough, that you can do better, and that you can be better. And that's what I believe for our church. We can do better and we can be better, and we have to position ourselves as being a beacon light to our community. Because when this is all said and done, the wreckage that will be left will have to be addressed. If we want our children to learn, we're really going to have tutoring programs when they've spent almost a year out of school. When this is all said and done, you really are going to need training programs for the community so that they can relaunch a business and have the ability to care for themselves and their families. When this wreckage is over, we're going to have to be at the forefront of bridging the gap of hatred, bigotry in this world. The second thing is, as a church, one of our roles in these challenging times is we have to be more compassionate. People don't come here because they're doing us a favor. Come because they hope and pray that there is comfort and support and gospel of Jesus Christ is advanced and preached. The church not only needs to be committed, but the church can't be committed without being compassionate. We need to exhibit the kind of compassion that Jesus taught when he said, "Blessed are the merciful." Y'all remember that? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We all seek God's favor in our lives, in our churches. Maybe we don't experience it because we are not extending mercy. Or we're quick to extend judgment. We're quick to extend criticism. But mercy. What's the song, right? Mercy suits my case. Paul said it this way in Galatians 6 and 2. You've heard it. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ is calling for the church. This is what we have to get. Christ is calling for the church to be an example of his love. Not only in word, because anybody can say it, but indeed, young man a long time ago recognized the need to show love in word,
when he saw some raggedy boys on the corner and invited them to come into Sunday school. One boy said he would come, but he had no suit to wear. And so the young man gave the little boy a suit, a coat. And years later, a teacher of an adult Sunday school class told that story. And the man stood up and said, "I was the boy, and the one who gave me his coat. And this person, because of their goodness and their mercy, led me to Christ." You see, we have to be willing to be compassionate and sensitive to the needs of those who are in our community. Romans 12 and 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Imagine the reputation we give the Church of Jesus Christ when we follow that mandate. The deeds we do, however small they may seem, plant seeds in our community that will eventually sprout. You may not see the result right away. You may never see the result in your lifetime, but rest assured, God will reward you for your compassion. And as a church and a faith community, we want to be even more compassionate. Finally, a beacon of light. The Christian's church dims light does not cast the same beam of invitation that it did many years ago, because the world has far too many churches that are stuck in past. A man was digging a well in Minnesota when he discovered an old Spanish gunboat. The boat had obviously once sailed in nearby Lake Superior back in the 1600s when the lake was much larger. The gunboat had 5 cannons, 2 mortars, and a few dozen cannonballs still aboard, but it had been completely covered by soil and was discovered by accident. It was an interesting curiosity, but it was worthless as a gunboat. That describes too many of our churches today. They belong to another age. Instead of keeping pace with the current of the world and keeping in touch with the living heart of humanity, they have been covered over and forgotten. They're interesting relics of a dead past, but they have become worthless as allies in the capture of the world for Christ. If the 21st century is going to be a beacon of light for Jesus Christ, we have to get in touch with the world. We can't wait for the world to find us. We have to shed our light in a myriad of creative and unconventional ways to attract the attention of those who are outside the church. It's time to remove the crust from around our stale weapons and replace them with new armor, armor that has been polished, shiny, and bright to reflect our timeless Savior. No one switches on a flashlight in the bright sunlight. We turn the light on to dispel darkness. It's the darkness that makes the light necessary. God knew that men and women would choose darkness rather than light, so he gave us his light in the form of Jesus Christ to shine in the midst of darkness. And God created the church, Christ's bride, to spread that light to humankind. So the question this morning that I would have you ask yourself, how is your light? Is it stale and weak? Is it in need of a jump start? You may not think that your one little light is important in the grand scheme of human redemption, but you are wrong. your light added to 1,000 more lights is exactly what makes the church God's beacon of light to the world. You know, there is a favorite hymn of the church, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give." The question this morning is, are you giving freely? Is there a sense of reckless abandon to your service? Is your faith timeless? Is your service limitless? Can the world see your light's brightness? Church of Jesus Christ rises to meet the challenge when we are committed, compassionate, and a beacon of light. A wonderful change takes place. And saints are edified, and the lives that we encountered are changed, and burdens are lifted, and confusions are cleared up, and we begin to meet the needs of the people, and questions are answered, and we overthrow demons, and doubts are destroyed. When the church of Jesus Christ rises to meet the challenge, temptations are overcome, and fears are banished, and problems are solved, and ministries are inspired. When the church of Jesus Christ rises to meet the challenge, sins are confessed, souls are stirred, spirits are revived, and angels rejoice. We are living in challenging times, but I'm here to declare there is a word from the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I am doubly committed, more than I ever have before, to be a part of the solution through Jesus Christ. Songwriter put this way, this little light of mine, this little light, this is the only light I have, I'm going to let it shine. We pray that in the days and weeks ahead, ugliness that was put on display is not a reflection of the majority. And we pray, oh God, that in a moment of self-reflection, that they will be convicted of their error and their crime. We pray that as we move forward, that the church will begin to position itself to take up the mantle of responsibility, to take up the mantle of a responsibility that will seek to transform our communities, that we will reach beyond these sacred walls, that we will go out into the highways and byways and compel people here. We have a rich history and legacy. In fact, when Ebenezer was founded, during the Great Migration, people came up streaming from the south, coming into Chicago, looking for new opportunities, more options for their lives. And they found in this place a home of support, of love. They found in this place Christ crucified, dead and resurrected. They heard the good news. But not only did they hear the good news, but they acted on the good news and contribute to an amazing period of time for this Bronzeville community. Ebenezer and the Church Universal has a role to play. God has given us our marching orders. Now, marching orders are not necessarily doing the same things that we've always done, getting the same results that we always have. But God is calling us to do a new thing. A new thing. And by God's grace, we shall. The word of God for the people of God and all of God's people said, amen. We're going to open the doors of the church today. Perhaps there's someone who is watching this live stream. We invite you to be a part of this fellowship of believers. I know that you're watching virtually. While you cannot come down the aisle, we're just asking if you would just chat your or in the chat space that you would put your email address and just let them know that you want to be a part of Ebenezer, and we will have someone to follow up with you. Now is your appointed time. This is your opportunity to get into right relationship with God. Is there one today? You could come by letter. You could come as a convert, brand new convert. Come based upon Christian experience. However you come, just let us know in the chat comment your name, your email address, and we will follow up with you and we will connect with you. Go over the plan of salvation. Let you know of the next steps in solidifying your relationship here at Ebenezer and Ebenezer becoming your church home.
Will your spirit still say yes? More than I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes?
Amen. We thank you once again for joining with us today. We ask again that you remember the sick among us. Remember those who are on our prayer list. Remember Ebenezer in your prayers and remember our community in prayer. As the word said, these in Mark, these are the beginning of sorrow. We have to be ever vigilant in these challenging times. And now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, to him who's able to present you before his Father with exceedingly great joy, to the all-wise God, be dominion and power, honor and glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priority. I will make room.
beyond.